Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome, everybody, to another episode of the Talking with Heroes talk show program. I am Bob Calvert, the founder of Talking with Heroes, and your host for today's program. For those of you listening for the first time, you can find out about our 9-plus-year history at talkingwithheroes.com/about. I try to update that every month. And also, for current news, the shows we've been doing, like, for the last year or more, current stuff happening. You go to our news site, thankyouforyourservice.us. We've been doing now 2 weekly programs. On Thursdays, we have a regular program with members of the r4alliance.org. We've now interviewed close to 50 of their members, and it keeps growing. More and more nonprofits are getting approved. And then Since early this year, we've also been hosting a series of call-in programs from soldiers with 3BCT 25th Infantry Division called the Bronco Brigade, and they're stationed out of Schofield Barracks. Some of these programs have been call-in programs where different units from the Bronco Brigade and other brigades with 3BCT have been serving with specific pathways, so they've been in different countries, different Pacific area countries. And so we've had call-ins from Australia, Malaysia, Indonesia, Philippines. It's amazing the stories they're sharing of working together with the troops from other countries. And so that's what we're doing today. We have another call-in program from 3BC 25th Infantry Division. And today we're going to be talking to 1st Lieutenant Ashley Sperry. She's a platoon leader. Well, I'm just going to let her tell you about herself. Welcome, Lieutenant Sperry, to the program, and thank you for your service.
Hi, Bob. I'm really happy to be here today. A little bit about myself is, like Bob said, my name is 1st Lieutenant Ashley Sperry. I have been in the Army for 6 years. I've done 4 of those years in the Ohio National Guard, and currently my 2 years have been on active duty service. I'm currently the Dismounted Recon Chemical Platoon Leader in 3rd Brigade, and I'm in the 29th Engineer Battalion. I commissioned from Ohio University in Athens, Ohio, with a degree in communication sciences and disorders. A little bit about my platoon, because a lot of people don't really understand what we do. And in civilian terms, it pretty much is the emergency incidents response team. We're able to deal with hazmat situations. We're used to conduct site assessments and mitigate hazards. We are a very small platoon. There's 12 of us, but we're very technically proficient. And we're the only asset that our brigade has for chemical.
Wow, yeah, I'm going to ask you some more questions about that, too, have you share some more. But I'm just curious. You know, we talked off the air about my daughter being in the military and my son-in-law and my brother and all that. Why did you join the military?
Well, Bob, I joined the military because it all goes back to, it's actually kind of nice since the anniversary of 9/11 just happened, but I was in 5th grade when 9/11 occurred. And at that time, I really didn't understand the emotions and exactly what was going on. I just remember getting brought in from recess, and my teachers were all crying, and they're watching the news, and all of us kind of just didn't understand. Like, they told us what happened, but the impact of that and the tragedy really didn't run across our mind as being in 5th grade. So I remember going home that night and my parents explaining it a little more to me. But each year as the anniversary happened for 9/11, I just remember becoming more emotional about the situation as you watch footage and you hear about everything the first responders went through and really how that changed our country and how from that point on our military's mission completely changed and we're still, you know, we're military at war because of that. So that was really stuck with me ever since 5th grade. And I went into high school. And in high school, you learn about more things in history class, and I really wasn't sure what I wanted to do when I got out of high school. I always told my parents I wanted to be a dolphin trainer, but they kind of just laughed that off, like, you can't really do much with that in your life. But so I started looking at different things. I remember we had some high school recruiters, or we had some military recruiters come to my high school, and they would always come, and they'd set up pull-up bars during lunchtime. And we had, like, the Marines and the Army and Air Force, they all would come, and they would have challenges for us during lunch. And they would have people do the pull-up competition and the flex arm hang. So I remember a few of my friends and I were all like, oh, let's just go over there and see what's that all about. So I remember us going over there and doing the flex arm hang and then doing pull-ups and them really explaining to us, like, hey, do you guys know much about the military and what we do and what the military can do for you? So they started to explain that all to us. And what really caught my attention is that they said they'd help pay for school. So I always thought it was such an honor, and I really respected all the soldiers and military that I've ever met and ever seen. So I didn't know that they helped pay for school, so that kind of stuck with me. I remember going home and talking to my parents, and I brought it up to my parents. And, of course, you know, this was when I was 17 years old, and my parents were just kind of like, no, you know, like, no, they're really encouraging me to find other options to pay for school, because I started, you know, freaking out, like, hey, I really want to go to college, but I don't know how I'm going to pay for it. So I just remember my dad, especially, I'm his only daughter, so he was really kind of upset. He's just like, you know, what made you want to do this? Like, this has kind of just come out of nowhere. I just, like, remember telling him the whole story, how I just explained it, and so he's like, okay. So after that point, I didn't really bring it up again because they really just didn't seem very interested with that whole thing. So I started calling around myself. I started calling different branches just to kind of see what they had to offer, to kind of learn more about it, like the jobs, the MOSs as they call it, what each branch had to offer for me. So I became more intelligent with it. So when I talked to my parents again, I had more to tell them about it. So end of junior year, I decided to apply to Ohio University in Athens, Ohio. And at that point, I really still did not really know how I was going to pay for school. So I got on the Ohio University webpage and saw the link for Army ROTC. So at that point, I contacted their recruiter, which was Major Hansen at the time, and I explained to him my whole situation. Then I also explained to him how my parents really weren't on board with the whole situation. And so he's like, hey, well, you know, I would like to come and drive to your hometown and talk to your parents. So at that point, that was my first, like, experience with the Army really treating you as a family and really caring about you, because I lived 2.5 hours away from Athens, Ohio, and he, you know, jumped in a car and drove down to my house 2.5 hours away just so he could talk to my parents in person. I mean, he could have asked to do it on the phone, but I think he really knew it was going to be important for them to see him face to face. So he drove down and he started explaining to my parents his experiences in the military and then about the Army ROTC program that Ohio University had. And at that point, I was just thinking in my head, like, this sounds so awesome. Like, this is exactly what I want. And then he had to tell us that there weren't any more scholarships left for the upcoming school year because it's like they fill up before the year before. So he was very, very encouraging, though. He said, hey, like, that's not a point where we can – that's going to be a point where you have to not, you know, join the Army. He's like, there's this program called the Simultaneous Membership Program. So he explained all that to me, which was basically I would enlist in the Ohio National Guard, and I would go to basic training, and I could participate as an ROTC cadet my freshman year, and then try to contract to try to be an officer later on in college. So I ended up doing that route, and I enlisted in the Ohio National Guard right before I graduated my senior year of high school, and that was awesome for me. I went into my first year of college already enlisted in the Ohio National Guard. I was participating in Army ROTC, just not as a contracted cadet yet, and I was drilling with a unit to help me prepare to go to basic training. So that was really nice for me to be able to prepare to go to basic training for a year before I actually went, and also to learn things through ROTC. So the summer after my freshman year of college, I went to basic training at Fort Sill, Oklahoma. And then following that, I went to AIT at Fort Jackson, South Carolina, to become a 91 Bravo, which is a wheel vehicle mechanic. So coming back from AIT, I missed a quarter of school, but jumped straight into back to my sophomore year in college, and contracted right away with Army ROTC to become an officer later on. So that really, I think, put me ahead of all my peers that were in ROTC because they didn't have to go to basic training for the ROTC program. So throughout college, I got to drill with my unit and learn about what it was to be in a unit and how units operated. I got to work with NCOs and soldiers and also try to learn how to be an officer as well. So that gave me really a leg up when I commissioned, you know, 3 years later.
Mm-hmm.
So I really, really enjoyed my experience with that. But what I like to really talk about is how what has got me to stay in, because really a lot of people, I think, join for, you know, similar reasons, but I've stayed in because of the camaraderie and for my soldiers, and it's been super rewarding for me as a platoon leader because I've got to see my soldiers and my platoon as a whole develop. So that's what's really been nice, and it was really reassuring last week when we did a project where we went to the museum here on Schofield Barracks and learned about the history of the 25th Infantry Division. And during that, all my soldiers, they had to pick either a person or an event that happened under 25th ID and how to do a project and explain to the rest of us what they learned. And really, I think that helped my platoon as well as me understand why we're really serving our country. And that's for all those to respect all of those who have given lives freely before us and have served to pave the way for how the military is today. So that was really informative for us to do those projects and learn a little bit about the history of our posts that we work on every single day.
Wow, that was great. So it's the way they gave you, the recruiter gave you options and alternatives and explained it to you. So you end up basically going into the military kind of like you wanted to. That's really good. Now, I've also been told that your husband is also serving in the military. Why don't you talk a little bit about that and how it impacts your marriage, your relationship?
Yeah, so I actually met my husband in ROTC at Ohio University. He was a year ahead of me in school, but he is actually an engineer here on Schofield Barracks. And it is awesome, but it's also stressful at times to be dual military. We get to share a lot of training experience, which is very helpful. He's done some things that I haven't got to do yet, and I've done things he hasn't got to do. And he's been to a couple rotations at the Joint Readiness Training Center at Fort Polk, Louisiana, and he's also been to the National Training Center in California. So I just recently got back from the Joint Readiness Training Center. So before I got to go, my husband was able to prep me with, like, tips and things to remember and different things. He oriented me to that training center before I even got there, which helped me, you know, help my platoon prepare before we went there. So we get to share a lot of those training experiences with each other, and also we don't have to code switch at home. The military has a lot of acronyms and different things that is not familiar to the civilian world. So when we get home, I'm sure people that listen to us that have no idea about the military are just like, what are these two people talking about? Because we don't have to code switch with each other. We're just throwing acronyms out to each other, and it's awesome that we get to share that. And it's also sometimes stressful, though, because we're in different units and we have different training paths here. So there'll be times where he's gone for a month and then home for a few days, then I'm gone. So there's been lots of times since we've been on island here that we really haven't seen each other. But I think it only makes our relationship stronger because we understand why we're doing this and are the bigger picture of why, like, all the time we spend apart, what the big picture is, and that's, you know, protecting this country. And I think that's very rewarding.
Absolutely. Now, I understand you have some exciting news. Would you like to share that with our listeners?
Yeah, my husband and I actually were expecting our first child in February, and we found out yesterday that we're having a little girl. So it's been very exciting. It's been kind of nerve-wracking in a sense, because my first thought when I found out I was pregnant was I just thought about work, you know, and thought about how that's going to impact my mission at work, which is I think something a lot of female soldiers go through. And but it's nice, though, because when you go through that, you're not the first one. I've had tons of my peers and my leaders. They've been super supportive, offering me advice and showing me the different resources for childcare. So it has been very reassuring to me that, hey, you can be dual military and you can start a family, and it's possible. You know, tons of dual military couples do it every single day. So that's been very exciting for us, and it's definitely a new chapter we're looking forward to.
Absolutely. Well, February is a good month to have a little girl. My little girl, my daughter, grown now, was born in February, too.
Nice.
Yeah. So when your daughter gets older, what would you want her to know about you serving in the Army? Or just serving the Army in general?
Serving in the Army in general, I'd like her to know that it's been a great organization for my husband and I, and it has been for everyone that's been in before us, and that it really pulls you out of your comfort zone and forces you to be the best person you can be and the best leader you can be. I've got to interact with people from all walks of life. I've gotten to travel, and it's all been very challenging, but the end super rewarding. I would love her to know about that experience, and I hope she'll get to live it a little bit as we go on in our Army career.
Yep, definitely. So if she decided to enlist, obviously a long time from now, how would you feel about that?
I was actually talking to my husband about this, and we both said how we'd feel super proud that our child wanted to take that oath to serve, because that means that their love for their country and they want to help others. So that would be an honor for us that they want to do that. And also we'd be super supportive, but we'd like them to go to college first and then pursue their Army career. And nervous though too, because we know the challenges of military life, but it'd be very, very easy because we'd be able to relate to our child and their experiences. And I think that's always nice to have somebody that understands.
Absolutely.
Now, and one other thing I thought was pretty cool I wanted to say was, so we picked our little girl's name, and it's going to be Jesselyn. And that's actually the street we live on. Jesselyn, yeah. And that's actually the street we live on here in Hawaii. And so I actually did, that's what my soldiers had to do, those reports on what they learned at the Tropic Lightning Museum. I did mine on Sergeant Jesselyn because that's the street I live on. So
wow.
The whole history behind that is that Sergeant Jesselyn was an infantry squad leader in a 235 Infantry Battalion, which was a battalion I was first in when I first got an island here. And at the age of 20, he got a Medal of Honor because a grenade got thrown to the area that his platoon was operating in, and he jumped on the grenade and sacrificed his own life to save all of his soldiers and his platoon. So I just think that's awesome history, and that's kind of how we came to pick her name as Jesselyn, because of it has so much significance to us. So I just thought that was a pretty cool story to share.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Now, I hear you also do a lot of volunteering. Can you tell us a little bit about those experiences?
Yes, I love to volunteer. I think it's a very rewarding experience. Last year, I was a soccer coach on post in Schofield Barracks, and that was awesome. I really never played soccer growing up. I'm more of a runner. But I got to condition the soldiers and do all the running drills with them. And it was a 7 to 9-year-old. So I watched them develop so much within one soccer season. You know, their skill sets developed a lot. I saw relationships develop a lot between them. They were not just teammates anymore, but they were friends. So that's really rewarding for me when I see some of those soldiers still on post. And they get so excited to see me and ask me how I'm doing, because we shared that whole experience together as, you know, being on the soccer team last year together. So that was one thing I really enjoyed doing. And I'm currently a point of contact between the partnership between my battalion and the school on post here, Solomon School. And so we do a lot of things with Solomon School. And some of the things we've done is we've helped out with their fun day, which at the end of the school year is where they set up games. It's pretty much for them just to play games and win prizes and to celebrate the end of the school year. So that was really fun to help out with. And then we've done the jump rope for heart with them. And we've also done the box tops for education. And those are, box tops for education is actually a really good program. It's where the box tops on different things you can get at the grocery store have those things on top of the boxes. And it's for everyone that the school collects, they get 10 cents towards like buying new computers or whatnot for their school. So we've helped out a lot with that. We actually set up a booth at the commissary and helped them collect box tops one day. So that's pretty much something that we're really striving to do, is help them collect more box tops. And then the most rewarding thing we've done so far with them is this buddy bench. So one of the engineers in my battalion, they actually built this buddy bench. And so the school's whole intent with that was have this bench where children can go to find a friend. So since it's an elementary school, they made this real cool sign saying, come here to find a friend. And this bench is something that we made, and the students use it a lot at the school to find a friend when they, especially at the beginning of the school year, a lot of little kids went there and they were able to find a friend on the buddy bench.
That is so cool.
Yeah. And I think it's really important to volunteer within your community just because I think the children remember us when we're not in our uniform. And I think it makes them feel safer on post, and I think it makes them happy to see a familiar face. I know I've been in the commissary before, and I've had kids that I don't really recognize come up to me, and they're so excited to see me. But then I realized it must be a kid from Solomon School that, you know, we've worked with in the past. So it makes me happy. And I think it's good for the soldiers, too, because it gives us a chance to kind of remember how school was for us and bring back some memories, as well as remind us the reason why we serve, and that's to keep the children safe and protect their freedoms.
Absolutely. If you could pass on, like, one lesson that you've learned in the Army to the children at Solomon Elementary School, what would that be?
Can I pass on a few lessons? Does it have to be one?
Yeah, sure. Go ahead.
Okay. So I think a big one is to always be yourself. And I know that's kind of generic, but I think it's true. And I think if little kids and, you know, you go into your middle school years too, if you're always yourself, then you can never be upset with yourself or how things went if somebody doesn't like you. If you're always yourself, you're not trying to be somebody else. And also don't ever try to change yourself to impress someone else. And I think along with that is finding a mentor, someone you look up to kind of help you out with things and with your goals, because everyone has goals and they don't know where to start sometimes. But I think having that mentor or someone to look up to early on in your life is a great thing. And always ask questions and continue to learn. I know I'm always asking questions still, and I always am trying to continue to learn things because I only can get better if I ask questions. And also, too, I know it's a little cliche, but to live by the Army values, you don't have to be in the Army or the military to follow these things. But if you are loyal, you go and you do your duty every day, you respect others, you have selfless service with all you do, honor, integrity, and personal courage. I think if you remember that acronym, leadership, you'll always be set.
Well, that is so true. Now, you are also, I think, involved in a mentorship program every Sunday evening, right? If you could describe maybe to our listeners what it is and how it affects you.
Yes. So I had a major in the Army ask if she can be my mentor. And she created this group where every Sunday we do like a group chat, like from face to face and from all over. And we have a lieutenant colonel in the Air Force, a major and a captain in the Army, and then myself. So the working objectives with this mentorship group originally was to challenge each other to implement goals, to brainstorm ideas, and to support each other. So far we've done a lot of those things, as well as we discuss finance with each other. So I'm able to ask them for advice, like what they've done financially to set themselves up for success for retirement and whatnot. We talk about current things going on in the news. We talk about different leaders and their leadership styles. And now since I found I was pregnant, it's awesome to have that support channel of two of those ladies have been pregnant in the military. So they're awesome. They give me so much advice, and they're always there to listen to me about things that are going on. And then we all talk about our goals we have and projects we're working on and our different jobs we have. So it's nice. It's about an hour every Sunday, but I definitely recommend somebody or everybody, you know, to find that mentor. It doesn't have to be once a week. It could be, you know, once a month, but I think it's a good outlet because it's somebody that's not someone I work with every single day, but it's somebody, you know, that's elsewhere, that it's not biased opinions on anything.
That is really neat. It was reflecting when you was talking about that. There's a group called General Leadership Blog, and they're real big on social media. Are you familiar with them?
No, I'll have to look it up, though.
Oh, okay. Yeah, it's led by generals, colonels, a lot of military, and they have all kinds of mentorship programs, and I love getting their tweets and their messages, and I try to pass them on, too. It's very important. Now, if you don't mind, could you talk a little bit about what you actually do, maybe your military job description, and then what does your service mean to you, and what would you like the public to know about that service?
Okay. So my job, like I said earlier, was the dismounted chemical platoon leader for the brigade. So our mission set is site assessment and to mitigate hazards. So anytime there, I know in the news a lot, there's been a lot about chemical attacks happening in other countries. Mm-hmm. So what we would be used for is for any targets that we known targets that we already know of, we do the assessment for that, and we have the proper protective equipment to go in and actually do that. So if there's a known target and there's an area that we want to, you know, it's an area of interest for the military or something they want to go through, then we would go first and we'd make sure that the area was safe and free of chemical or biological, radiological or nuclear hazards so they could go forward, or we could get another route for them that would be safer. So we'd go in and do our site assessment. We'd mitigate any hazards we see, and we could find the different levels of if there is something there, what exactly is there, and we were able to tell that to our brigade commander to let them know, like, hey, this is what we found, and this is our recommendation for the troops going forward. So that's kind of it's a really cool job. It's a job that you don't get to do, you know, every single day, but it's a job when it's needed that, you know, you need mm-hmm. it needs to be done right now. So it's very important for us to stay up on all of our skill sets and to be technically and tactically proficient so we're able to do it when we are called. So for my service, what my service means to me really is I can sum it up really with selfless service, putting the welfare of the nation, the Army, subordinates before my own. And I've definitely learned it's larger than just one person. You can't have an Army with just one person. You can't be an individual in the Army. There's multiple people in your platoon, and it gets bigger just as you go up. So I say selfless service, and I think it truly shows how proud you are to be an American and how you want to continue to make us the greatest country that we are already.
Wow. Thank you for that. What are your future plans, Lieutenant Sperry? Is it you tend to stay in the Army?
My future plans right now is since I had a degree in communication sciences and disorders, I've really been reaching out to some of my mentors and asking them about professions and within the Army that I could do that. So it's speech therapy and audiology is really what I went to school for. So I'm thinking about getting out next year and going to get my master's in audiology and then coming back in active duty my fourth year of school to Walter Reed and doing my internship for audiology there. So I get out
wow.
for a few years to get my master's, but I come back in as an audiologist in the Army. So I'm really excited about that, and I think that's really what I plan to do in the next year or so.
Well, thank you again to you and your husband for your service and all that you've shared with us. I've really enjoyed listening to you. Do you have anything else you'd like to share with the American people that maybe supporting our military?
I really encourage everybody to support, you know, everything that's going on. And if you really should support everyone that's out in America trying to make things better. And if you have an opinion about something, do something about it, you know. Every single day, that's what we're fighting for is our freedom still. So if you're not happy with something the way it is, you know, make sure you're supporting America and trying to make it better every single day.
Absolutely. Well said. So I don't like closing a program without giving you an opportunity to give a shout-out to family and friends.
Okay.
Take your time.
Yeah. Okay. I'd like to shout-out, first of all, to God for making it possible for me to stay healthy and do my job and lead my soldiers every single day. And my parents for being supportive of me when they weren't supportive at the beginning and really encouraging me and seeing that the Army was the best thing for me and staying with me. And my husband for every single day that we share and our experiences. And then my family and friends, not just back home, but all my family and friends that I've met here in Hawaii. My OU Army ROTC program, Ohio University Army ROTC, the Ohio National Guard, the 235 Infantry Battalion, which I served as a chemical officer in, the 29th Engineer Battalion, where I currently am, and my platoon, my chemical recon platoon, and then 3rd Brigade.
Great. Thank you so much. It's been an honor, a privilege to talk with you on the air. I appreciate
it. I really
appreciate
it. And it was very nice to meet you, Bob.
Absolutely. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
And we'll talk with you again probably, hopefully both you and your husband, maybe
that
early next
great.
Year.
Yeah, that
absolutely.
Would be awesome.
Okay. Thank you very much. You have a good rest of your week. Okay.
You
God
too.
Bless you.
All right. Bye.
Well, folks, you've been listening to First Lieutenant Ashley Sperry, platoon leader with HHC 29th Engineer Battalion, 3rd Brigade Combat Team, 25th Infantry Division. Really great to hear what she shared about her service and also about all the volunteering she's doing and helping children. And it's just great. Really very rewarding to listen to this. She's doing a great job. And this is, again, like I said in the beginning, continuation of a series of programs we've been having for 6 months now, a little over, I guess, now, with 3rd Brigade Combat Team, 25th Infantry Division soldiers. And if you've missed any of the previous programs, go to our news site, thankyouforyourservice.us. In the left-hand column, you'll see an article that says, listen to 3BCT 25th ID soldiers call in from Schofield Barracks, Australia, and more. And that'll list all the programs we've had. And by each show, there's a link to listen directly, audio. And you can obviously listen to these audio programs once they've aired, 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. Anytime it's convenient for you on your computer, your laptop, your smartphone, a tablet, just while you're working on your computer, you can be listening to these great, great programs we're doing with these amazing American men and women. And so I want to thank you all for listening. I would always ask that if you like what you've heard today, please share the programs. We have posts on all of our programs on three different Facebook pages. We've got a Talking with Heroes page. We've got a Talking with Heroes program page. Also on Twitter, Talk with Heroes. Then on Google Plus and even on Pinterest, which I'm just still learning on that one. And so if you see any of those posts, why don't you share it with your friends and family? We'd really appreciate that. That would be very helpful to get the word out, word of mouth. And to all of our men and women who have served and your families, thank you for your service to our country. And to those who are active duty in National Guard, Reserves, you're serving now, thank you for your service and your families. And to any of you men and women who might be in an area where you could be in harm's way right now, be safe, stay alert. We're looking forward to you come back home. And thank you. God bless you. God bless America.